you haven't already, go ahead and find your seat. You can go ahead and be seated. It's great to be here with all of you this morning. As today, I would like to talk with us today about the idea of connection. Now, in particularly, in regards to connection within the faith community. And I think all of us would generally agree that connection with others is a positive thing. It does have benefits. And actually, more so that I've been hearing lately around culture, especially local culture, is I tend to listen to a lot of sports talk radio. I listen to sports talk a lot throughout the day when I can. And one of the common elements that I've been hearing more recently is this idea of connectivity. And I hear about the Eagles team and how they're connecting with one another, and there's connectivity there, and there's a great connection that the team has with the city of Philadelphia. And I hear Rob Thompson talk about the Phillies and how there's such a connection on this team of players. They love each other, and there's this chemistry, and we see how Bryce Harper is connecting with the city of Philadelphia. Now, those are the two teams we're going to stop with this morning. We're not going to go any further than that. But there is this concept, this idea, this principle that connectivity can bring about greater success, accomplishing something together that we can't individually accomplish. So there is some benefit to it. There is some success that comes with it and a sense of winning. And I would say that we're in this room, we've all experienced the connection that we can feel through the Sunday morning experience here at Valley Point Church. And many of us prioritize our week to be here because we've experienced that. And we want to come back to that. And we see the value in worshiping together, learning about Scripture together. And we understand the value of praying together and coming together and smiling and interacting and connecting with our faith community and sometimes wrapping our arms around each other and crying and praying for one another in hard times. And this is a very biblical thing. The writer in Hebrews in chapter 10 tells us as a church, do not neglect the meeting together. And there is a very unique connection that we get to experience as Christ followers, as Christians, because the Holy Spirit of God connects us together spiritually, where we literally become brothers and sisters in Christ. This is a truly unique environment that you cannot replicate in any other arenas in life. And so we experience this, and it's a good thing. But what I want to talk to us today about is consider the idea that perhaps there is an element to connecting with your faith community that goes beyond the Sunday morning experience that you might just be missing out on experiencing. And not because you don't want it, not because you think it's a bad thing or you fought it. You've just never experienced it before, so you don't know the value that it can bring into your life. And it's hard, admittedly, it's hard to take that first step into connecting with others. And so we're going to talk about that today. But there's a really famous guy within Scripture. His name is David. Now, this is the same David who, as a teenage boy, fought Goliath and destroyed the giant Goliath. This is a common story. We all know about David and Goliath. Well, David was also anointed king of Israel. Now, Israel was God's chosen people that we see the story in the Bible, that we follow the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. And so David was one of their kings, highly successful in everything he did. He was a commanding presence on the battlefield, and he was able to wipe out the enemies of Israel at that time. He was able to to expand the geological landscape of the nation of Israel. He overtook Jerusalem, making it its capital city. And all along, David remained faithful to the Lord. And so as we read about David, he seems like this just compelling and immovable force of faith within Scripture. But then we see a different side to David, which is where we're going to pick up today in 2 Samuel chapter 11. It reads this: in the spring of the year, when kings normally go out to war, David sent Joab and the Israelite army to fight the Ammonites. However, David stayed behind in Jerusalem. David should have gone to war. That's where he was supposed to be. And those are the people he was supposed to be around at that particular time. And this was the common practice. It was his common practice. But for some reason this year, he chose to stay behind. And the writer specifically notes this as a criticism of David. David wasn't where he was supposed to be. He wasn't around the people that he was supposed to be around. And that initial decision, if you continue to read the story, which we're not going to read the whole thing today, led him into further bad decisions. It led him into laziness. It led him into complacency. It led him into deceit. It led him into a sexually immoral relationship with a married woman. And then it eventually led him to commit the act of murder, killing the man, the husband of the woman that he was having an affair with. Quite a fall from grace. There's another guy in Scripture. His name is Samson. Samson was one of the judges of the nation of Israel, appointed by God, given special favor by God. Given actually superhuman strength, like he was stronger than anybody else by far in the land. And he was given these gifts from God in order to carry out God's plan for him through the nation of Israel. But likewise, Samson began to put himself in environments he had no reason to put himself in. And he placed himself around people he had no business being around. And guess what? It led him to bad decision making. In fact, it led him to laziness. It led him into complacency, deception. It led him into a sexually immoral relationship with a woman he wasn't married to. And then ultimately resulted in his own death. So before we go on, I do realize that these are two very extreme examples that I'm giving of men who were flying high and succeeding and then just coming crashing down to the ground. That does happen, by the way, very often. Although it may not be that dramatic in our lives, I want us to understand something. There is a principle, a biblical principle, and quite honestly, a practical principle, even outside of a biblical context, that when we put ourselves into environments that aren't good for us, and we surround ourselves with people who aren't good for us, it will eventually lead us into bad decisions every single time, because we naturally will become who we are around, the environment that we are around. It's just what happens. We evolve into what we surround ourselves with. The very best way, or maybe one of the best ways, to prevent this type of bad decision making in our lives is to ensure that we stay connected with the people who we need to be connected with for our own good. And I think that most of us, again, wouldn't argue with the idea that isolation is not a good idea, that it's not healthy for us. Isolation isn't good for us physically. It's not good for us emotionally. But I think we fail to find the correlation when it comes to spiritual isolation. What does spiritual isolation bring? Well, we see the examples. And I'm sure you can give your own examples. If not your own life, someone who you know that chose to isolate and it led them into bad decision making. Because isolation leaves us vulnerable. So here's our big idea for today, to help us think through this. Find your people, because we all need a crew to roll with. We all do. We need a crew. And maybe you have a crew today that you would say, this is my go-to crew, right? Maybe it's, you know, longtime friends that when you get together, you just pick up right where you left off. It's like no time has passed. That's your crew. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's your cousins. Maybe it's your boys, you know, whoever they are, your girls, like this is my crew. When we go out, my confidence goes from here to here. Like we roll together and we can do whatever we want. Don't mess with us because I've got your back, you've got my back, right? And this is good. It's good to have a crew like this. Like it keeps us social. It keeps us having fun. It gives us confidence. Let me ask you this. Who would you consider to be your spiritual crew? Maybe it's the same. That would be great. Most of the time, it's probably not. Who's the crew that holds you accountable? Who, when you're around them, you know that with them, you're on the right path to good decision-making. They're speaking into your life. And they're not just giving you what you want to hear. You know, you're so great. You know, you be you. That's your truth. Go for it. Like, these are people who's really holding up the mirror and saying, hold on. Like, you're going down a path of destruction. Like, you're not seeing this. Your pride needs to go from here to here. Let's tone it down a little bit. Somebody to hold us accountable. Somebody to come alongside of us when we falter and fall and go through hard things, to be able to faithfully pray with us and for us, that we know spiritually, you've got my back, and I've got your back. We all need a spiritual crew like that. Hebrews chapter 10 says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and to good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So where can we find a crew like this? Well, it's in this environment. You've taken a great step in finding that. Coming here on Sunday mornings, getting around like-minded individuals who I would assume are genuinely and generally trying to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. And that's encouraging to be around, and that's important for us. But I want to talk today about an environment that goes deeper with our relationships, because we can only have so much conversation here on a Sunday morning. Like, our relationships can only go so far here in this context. I mean, there's a lot going on, a lot of movement, trying to get out for lunch, all these different things. So how can we take the next step to a deeper kind of connection? This is where we would call our connection groups at Valley Point. Our connection groups, maybe you've heard of these, maybe not, and we're going to talk about what these are specifically and how to get engaged in these a little bit later. We're going to do that. But for now, I want us to take a look at the why behind all of this. Why do we think as a church that these are so important that every single person in this room needs to be involved in one of these groups? Why is it so important? So these are going to be our thinking points today. I'm going to kind of make a case for the importance of connection groups. So here's the first thing we're going to take a look at. Thinking point number one. Connection groups provide purpose. They provide purpose for us. In Acts chapter 2, this is the early church and how they functioned. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and to sharing of meals, including the Lord's Supper, which we did today, and to prayer. So it provides purpose through biblical living. See, we want to base our lifestyles as Christ followers our lifestyles and behaviors need to be based on Scripture, its teachings, what the Lord values, we should value. And the way He tells us to behave, that's how we should try to behave. That's what we want to do. And I can't rely on my own understanding for this. I can't rely on my own truth for this, because what's the problem with my truth? Well, it's going to be self-serving. Almost every time. It's going to benefit me the most and what I want it to be. Instead, we come together and we say, all right, we're being presented with this as truth. Let's look at Scripture. Let's hold it up against Scripture and see what falls out. And let's talk about that. Let's help one another understand this. And let's commit together to living out Scripture over my own ideas. So I now put the value of scriptural truth over my personal preferences. And that's what we aim to do. We take a look at the Bible and use that as our source of truth and understanding as we live in an increasingly fragmented and disunified culture. We have to rely on a source outside of ourselves to determine what right living looks like. So it provides us purpose through biblical living. It provides us purpose through fellowship. And this word is mentioned in Acts chapter 2. And in this context, it's talking about a communal approach to living life together. That it's not in isolation. It's not just me. It's together kind of living. And we share our lives with one another. And what this does is it actually forms a deeper commitment and a deeper belonging to the greater faith community. And Jesus understood this, and this is how He functioned in His ministry, a communal kind of way of living. And then it provides purpose through prayer, like praying with one another, like genuinely heartfelt, kind and caring prayer for one another, develops an intimate type of relationship that's built on trust and being trustworthy. So as I'm vulnerable, you're vulnerable, and we can pray for one another in meaningful and caring ways. So it provides us purpose through prayer. Secondly, connection groups provide us with confidence. Confidence. Confidence in our beliefs. It can be very alienating at times to live life that's in agreement with biblical living. And we can feel like exiles, and it can be intimidating at times, and it can be scary at times, but when we get around others who are like-minded, who can give us confidence, wow, how great is that? We become more stable in our faith and in our belief structures. In Proverbs chapter 27, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. So we gain confidence in our beliefs, and we also gain confidence through accountability. We become sturdier, stronger together. We get more resolve to us, and we start to become better husbands, better wives, better sons and daughters, better friends, better grandparents to our grandchildren. As we surround ourselves with people who are willing, and we give the open door to help hold us accountable, to hold the mirror up. In the words of the great poet Taylor Swift, I'll stare directly at the sun, but never in the mirror. We don't like the mirror. There's accountability in the mirror. There's self-evaluation in the mirror. So we don't typically hold it up for ourselves, and we need a crew around us to hold that mirror up and say, look, you've got great character, but this ain't it. Take a look. Like, you're a strong father, but this ain't it. You're a good husband, but this ain't it. And we need this crew to help us become better. Being in close proximity to others gives us a chance to be held accountable. And then lastly, it gives us the confidence through being cared for. Like, we know when I hit hard times, I've got somebody who has my back. They're going to help me take care of my kids. If I need a meal, they're going to provide a meal. If I need prayer, I know they're going to be praying for me, whether I ask for it or not. I can depend on them. Problems become smaller as we begin to share them with other people. In Galatians chapter 6, it says, share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. To share here means to bear, to carry, to literally lighten another person's hardship. By the way, you might say, well, I don't need a crew. I don't need a group like this. Okay, well, somebody else might need you. And they probably do. We all need strong people around us. And if you're a strong person, allow that to benefit somebody else. This is pleasing to the Lord. And there's no help when you fall in isolation. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, it says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls along, this is sad. Yeah, they're in real trouble. When we don't have good judgment and wisdom being spoken into us, we only hear our own thoughts. We only hear ourselves. We can tell ourselves all sorts of different things that make total sense to us and to nobody else. So we need others in our lives. Ecclesiastes goes on to say this, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. We're vulnerable when we stand alone. But two standing back to back can conquer. Three, even better. For a triple braided cord is not easily broken. And then thinking point number three, our last thinking point for today. Connection groups provide growth. What kind of growth? Well, first, personal growth. This is a really good thing. As we are around other people, we have a chance to see outside of ourselves. Right? We're motivated by others at times. We're strengthened by others. We're pushed to do things that we're not willing to do on our own because somebody else is along with us, prompting us to live rightly with God. We can often focus on what we can get out of church. Getting inside of a group can begin to switch our thinking to what can I offer to others? Right? There's something that somebody else needs from you. And we get to get into an environment where we can give and we can share openly with each other. There's a book that I'm reading. It's called Transformational Groups. And it takes a research approach to small groups within the Christian church. And here is one of the findings. People in groups from a research vantage point are more likely to share their faith, to repent of their sins regularly, to give sacrificially, to serve faithfully, and to read their Bibles. They're challenged to do these things, so they do it. They're held accountable to do these things, so they do it. So it leads to spiritual growth, personal growth, spiritual growth. And we get motivated to read our Bibles more, to be able to defend our faith and gain confidence through others that we're not alone in this. We're not crazy in thinking some of this. In Ephesians chapter 4, it reads, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace, for there is one body, one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. And then get this, then we will no longer be immature like children. Our faith grows. Our spiritual maturity is able to occur. So we're not like spiritual children any longer. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind or a new teaching. We'll be able to discern. You'll not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies that are so clever that they look like the truth. Instead, we'll be steadfast and we will speak the truth in love, growing every way more and more like Christ, who is the head and body of the church. We gain confidence in what we believe. We gain encouragement from who we are around. And then it actually provides communal growth for the church. People are attracted to an environment where they feel this connectivity between its members. And wow, they have something that I don't have, and I want that. And it's going to compel people to be a part of this. And then when we meet together in small groups, it actually enriches our time together as an entire faith community. As more people are known, more people are cared for, more people are maturing in their relationships, they're maturing in their personal development, in their spiritual development. And we no longer just come to be consumers of church, we become the church to others. And we accomplish great things together. Generosity begins to explode out of us. We make good decisions in life, and our relationships benefit from it. We become confident in our faith, and we're able to help others be confident in their faith, and we begin to develop into fully formed apprentices of Christ. I rest my case. So that's my pitch. That's why Valley Point Church believes connection groups are vital for each and every one of us. And you need to try to experience this. So, let's just get to the absolute practical, how do we do this kind of thing. All right, so as you leave this morning, you're going to receive a packet that looks like this. Everybody see that? Now, this is a connection group FAQ sheet. So this is going to answer a lot of the questions you have about what are connection groups at Valley Point Church. What's a typical meeting look like? How do I know I fit into a group? How much do I need to know the Bible to be a part of a group? So there's a lot of general questions and answers about what groups are and how to be involved in one of them. And then the last two pages are a comprehensive list of all of the groups we're offering this fall. So this fall season, here's what we're offering. And you can read through those, read through the FAQs. And when you determine that, all right, I think this group can work for me, you can register right here. There's a little QR code. You can take a snapshot of that, register. You can also find this on our church app. You can also find the link on our website. If you have not downloaded our church app, I would encourage you to do that. It's a really great resource, not just for connection groups, but it has our church-wide calendar that you can see what's coming up. We update that regularly with the occurrences. So if you haven't downloaded, go to your app store, look for Valley Point Church, and download that church app. It'll be very helpful for you. All right, so I also wanted to just give an overview of a couple of new groups that we're going to be offering. All right, so over the summer months, we got our 20s and 30s together, those who are in the ages of 20s and 30s, and we began to just hang out, eat lunch together, do social events together, just to get to know one another, and it was a great time of connecting. And so this 20s and 30s, by the way, is a growing demographic for us here at Valley Point Church, which is a very good thing. And so we want to serve those in this age group. So regardless of dating status, regardless of relationship status, marital status, this is for 20s and 30s. So we're going to take those casual kind of get-togethers and we're going to form that into an official connection group coming up this fall season. So take a look at that. We also have a new moms group that's going to be launching. It's going to be called Modern Moms. And this is going to be a Tuesday morning group where moms who are just in the thick of it right now of raising children, babies, elementary age, middle school kids, high school kids, trying to figure out how to do this in a God-honoring way and to help their kids know how to navigate how to be involved in today's culture. And we're going to get together. They're going to pray together. They're going to encourage one another, read scripture together, and try to encourage one another and cheer each other on. So check that out. Our Grief Share group is going to come back around this semester. We had one last semester. It was a really great success. So if you're grieving the loss of a loved one, this is a wonderful, biblically based program for you. Even if you were a part of it last time, grieving is a continual process. And so it'll be helpful to even attend again and again. So if that's something you'd like to look into. Our Men of Ice group will continue to meet. This is one of our men's groups on Saturday mornings. Our Real Women's group will continue to meet starting in October on Saturdays, Saturday mornings. You can check that out. Our Kids Quest structure. So when your kids are downstairs, like right now, they're learning about the Bible. And they learn in a large group scenario. And if they're in elementary school, they actually break out into smaller groups of connection groups. And their leader helps them talk about with one another school and friendship and reading their Bible and things that are going to help them grow and nurture them into loving their Creator. So make sure your kids are benefiting from our Kids Quest ministries. And then coming up this fall season, actually in a couple of weeks, our student group is going to launch connection groups as part of their Wednesday night programming. So we're still going to do the same things that we've been doing on Wednesday nights, but we're going to also break out into smaller groups. So we're going to have a middle school boys group, a middle school girls group, a high school guys group, a high school girls group, where we can better serve them, get to know them, and in a loving and safe environment, allow them to begin to discuss some of the things that they're experiencing. And here's my encouragement to you, if you have middle schoolers and high schoolers, and hopefully some of them are in the room with us too, so they hear this also. Make them go. Make them go. We make our kids do all sorts of things they don't want to do, right? They don't want to go to school every day. We make them go to school every day. They don't want to eat their vegetables. We make them eat their vegetables. Make your kids do what you know needs to happen in their lives. But you can't do that without also prioritizing it for yourself. I've tried to get my kids to do stuff that I am not currently doing. It doesn't work. Help your kids prioritize what they need to prioritize. And maybe they've got a sporting activity on Wednesday night or a practice that they have to go to. Try to talk with the coach, right? Give it a shot. Say, hey, here's what I'm trying to do spiritually for my child, and I think it's really important. Is there any way they can have the permission to do this? And they may say no. They don't come to practice. They're not on the team. Well, at least you tried, right? You gave it a shot. But maybe they say, oh, never had anybody ask me that before. That's different. Sure. Yeah, and I'll tell the other kids about this too. You never know until you try. And all they can say is no, right? So prioritize it. If you have tried a connection group in the past and it maybe didn't click right away, try again. There's plenty of things in life that we have to try multiple times before we get a successful outcome. There's nothing wrong with that. Try again. And maybe you did and it didn't work. Well, try again. Let's make the decision to prioritize getting around an environment where we have our spiritual crew surrounding us and experience maybe something we've never felt before, and allow yourself to be loved and cared for and even held accountable, because it's for our good. And all of this will help us have a better faith community of fully formed apprentices of Christ. Let's pray together. God, thank you for our time together. Thank you for Scripture, for the truth that you lay out for us. And while it's not always easy, But you've allowed us to have counterparts here and receive help from others, and help us to benefit from that, to step outside maybe our comfort zone, to be a little more vulnerable with others than we've ever been before, and allow ourselves to be challenged in ways that maybe we've never been challenged before. God, we also ask your protection on our families here, on our kids who have resumed school or will resume school this coming week, for our college students who are away now, for our grandkids who are away or in school. And we pray that you would envelop them with an awareness that you love them and that you have a purpose for them right where they are to accomplish what you want them to accomplish, and protect them. And we beg this of you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name.